1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And again, real quick, I'm going to ask you to again, pray for revival. Pray the Lord to start in your own hearts. And as you pray, the Lord may bring a name to your mind. The Lord may even bring a visual to your mind of the young lady or the young man you see down at the grocery store, down at the hardware store. And take that as it being directly from the Lord and make it a point to talk to them, to invite them. We're going to try to have another fellowship next month. The first Sunday, Lord willing, let's try at least through the summer, have a fellowship the first Sunday of every month, and it'll be something different. Ice cream's a good thing on a hot day, but whatever it may be, I don't care. I just look forward to the fellowship. And next month on the fellowship, I'm going to do my best, and I'll bring something in a challenge in a sense of revival, about how to pray revival, things important of revival, a guideline for revival, and I'll share that next month on the first Sunday of the month. Let's look at our text here in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's like to take that little phrase, be ye steadfast, or be what a true believer ought to be. See, there are many things that a true believer ought to be. And if I may paraphrase this passage of scripture that we just read, is that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because, dear friends, our labor is not in vain when doing it unto the Lord. We may never know the seed that we sow that God may bring forth down the road that somebody else gets to see it. We may never know the idea of us seeing someone to come a part of our church or coming to know the Lord that someone else had already plowed the row, turned the dirt, and did most of the work, but God gave us the privilege of benefit of reaping the harvest there. So we just need to stay active. So tonight I'd like to share 9 other B's for the believer. Number one, be holy. Be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You see, the godly who know and follow the Lord must be different from the worldly world that we live in that ignore him. I mean, most people have no desire, no thought of anything when it comes to spiritual things. There are some that even probably curse churches as they drive by them. And it's up to us to be holy and live things out. Try to keep in mind that we are the only Bibles, as I mentioned this morning, that sinners may read. And so instead of feeling strange because we can't be like them, the challenge is to show them the difference. And that comes with being holy. Number two, be doers. Be doers. Again, in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need more people that are willing to do more than sit and soak, but be willing to be doers of the word. Put it this way, we're to walk the talk of our faith and not just talk the talk of our faith. When we talk the talk, we have become doers of the word. In other words, not that aspect of do like I say, not like I do. We need to make sure that we're backing up our actions with the things that we say. Don't be a do-nothing Christian. We already have plenty of them around. Let's be active and going. Be holy. Be doers. And number three, be kind. Be kind. Again, I've mentioned this before. That's some of the first verses that we've taught our children when they were little. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So often, I think that can be a little bit hard, but we need to be willing to be kind and forgiving even when we're not even asked. Kindness to others should be a great part of our testimony to others. If nothing else, isn't it a wonderful testimony? If maybe someone doesn't even recognize yet that you're a believer, that they would really say, man, that's one of the nicest persons that I have ever met. They are so kind, so congenial. They're always so friendly, always have something positive to say. When people have that view of mind about us, when we do have an opportunity to share more, they're more likely to be ready and willing to listen. See, kindness must reign among believers as we love each other and share the problems of our church family, share in the problems of our church family. Be holy, be doers, and be kind, not just to one another, but the world that we live in. And number four, be thankful. Psalm tells us in Psalm 100, be thankful. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How hard is it to be thankful? What a wonderful time, and not just Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful time. I enjoy the ball games and the turkey and the dressing and the pies and the fellowship. But throughout the year, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for the multiplied mercies of God every day. Boy, isn't God good? Better than we deserve? And that in itself strikes up a conversation. So often, not always, but often when people ask me how I'm doing, often I say, better than I deserve. And if it's another believer, it opens up a door and they're ready to walk through. And sometimes if it's not, I've even had one guy ask me, well, why would you say that? Why are you better than you deserve? And there's an opportunity to step through that and just share the love of the Lord. Be thankful for your redemption through the death of Jesus Christ. Be thankful in all that your family that is saved, and continue to pray for those that need Christ. Be thankful in the daily provisions the Lord provides for you. Again, I made a comment this morning. I never would have thought I would ever have to spend that much money that we spent the other day in a bulk grocery store shopping. Never thought it. But on my way out, I said, thank you, Lord, that I was able to. Thank you that you provided the means that I was able to get the things. I was reading online the other day in Costco, some other stores are saying their sales of beef are down and chicken is up because people just can't afford to buy the beef and other meats that they used to. Again, let's be thankful for his provisions. Be thankful for your church, your pastor, and for every member of your church. Well, when's the last time that we threw in our fellowship time and greeting one another? We are a friendly church. But do we say, I appreciate you? Well, so good to see you tonight. I look forward to seeing you each and every service because you're always happy and smiling and you encourage me. Expressing those things, being thankful. Be thankful for the freedoms that we still have to live our lives for our Savior. Yeah, things are getting worse. Had one of the men of a church just after the morning's message came tonight and gave me a copy of the Constitution in a nice pamphlet form. Now, some of the things we may be losing, there's some things that have changed in our world, but we are still the greatest country on earth. We still have more freedoms than most, if not all, other countries. And those are the ones that are complaining and upset about things in America came from other countries to begin with. I just don't understand it. But let's be thankful for the provisions of their Lord. Be holy. Be doers. Be kind. Be thankful. And number 5, be merciful. We all want forgiveness, but we also need to be willing to give forgiveness and be merciful. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Where would we be without the mercies of God? Where would we be without his long-suffering and patience? Be sure to show your loving and helpful attitude toward others. Be willing to go out of the way and be merciful and forgiving without even being asked. Your love and concern for others will show forth the kindness of the Lord's mercy. His mercy, as I mentioned this morning, is fresh and new each and every morning. And while we're being holy and we're being doers of the word and we're being kind and we're being thankful and all that doing, let's also make sure that we're being merciful and applying the same mercy as needed to others the same way the Lord provided for us. And then number 6, be an example. Be an example. 1 Timothy 4:12. But be thou an example of the believers. Now notice here, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. There's a lot of things that we need to be a good example on. How are we doing? How often do we ask ourselves at the end of the day, at the end of the week, saying, Lord, was I a good example in my words? In my conversation, in sharing the gospel when I had opportunity? Was I good and a good example in my conversation? Was I merciful in my conversation? Lord, was I charitable? Was I kind this past week? Was I in the right spirit and in faith and sharing my faith and am I practicing a life, trying to make sure my mind is pure and not severed because of the things of the world? Dear friends, we need to demonstrate the joys of Christianity, showing the difference Christ makes in our lives. You'd be surprised how refreshing it is to others Will we use kind words? Will we give compliments? Or will we respond to things that they do with us, for us, in some form or fashion? Wherever your life touches your neighborhood or your community, make sure it shines with the love of Christ, attracting them to be saved. Live in a way that others may follow you and desire what you have in Christ. Who wants what we have if we always look like we've been sucking on persimmons or lemons? I mean, we should live a joyful life. I'm not always successful at this, but I try really hard to notice people, to talk to people. I noticed today when we went out to lunch, a young lady served us, had served us before. I saw a few other people that came in as we were going out that looked familiar. I was out this past week and saw someone that looked so familiar, but I could not place them. But I try to get to know people in my regular routine and where I go, showing myself friendly, making a comment, even to the point of, man, are you following me? This is the third time I've seen you today. And usually it'll lead to some type of conversation, but trying to get to know people in our community, doing all these things. And if we're being holy, and we're being active of trying to be doers of the word, and we're being kind and merciful and thankful and doing our best to be example, I see the Lord just opens doors of opportunity for us as we begin to build relationships. It's easy to talk to someone when they feel like they almost know you because they see you, it seems like, almost every week because you're crossing paths at a store or at a shopping center in some way, and the Lord opens up opportunities. I believe with all of my heart that if we're living the godly example the Lord have us to live, and we're doing all the things that the Lord desires of us, and we desire to be an influence, God opens doors. He gives those opportunities to exercise those things. Number 7, be strong. Be strong. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As a believer, we are to stand with Christ on the side of right and defend righteousness. But again, we had a conversation setting out in the foyer tonight with some of the men. And as some of the things that have taken place in our country is too many Christians are skittish or hesitant to speak up or to speak out because they're concerned about what people may think. Now, as I mentioned this morning, some of the minority group, the smaller groups that are speaking out and are the loudest, they're in the minority. They're the smaller groups, but they're making all the noise. I tell you what, I may not appreciate their message, but I respect their desire and their position to say what they believe. I am sorry. I may not agree with them. I don't agree with the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I respect their work ethic. They're out there. I mean, they'll identify who they are, where they go, and then one of those groups even wears little name tags on their shirts everywhere they go because they're not ashamed of who they are. If we went around wearing hats and shirts and name tags that said members of Harvest Baptist Church, a follower of God, would we have to cover it up once in a while? Would we be afraid to do it? Would it not be a good reflection? I mean, if we're trying to do and be all these things here and to be strong in the Lord as a believer, again, standing with Christ on the side of right and defend righteousness, we don't have to be belligerent. We don't have to be ugly. But we can speak up. And we can voice our opinion in love or be a part of a conversation if we do it the right way. We need more Christians, more people willing to stand for what they believe, to bow their head at a meal at a restaurant, to speak out, to show up at educational board meetings and school systems and do our part and what we can. And there's one thing we all can do, as I've asked tonight, we can pray for revival. All of us can do that in any place, anywhere. I mean, it doesn't have to be in public. We don't have to stand out in the middle of the street. Oh, Lord, we can do it in private. But we need to do it and ask God to make a change and say, Lord, start it with me. Start in my heart, my home, my place where I stand. Help me to make a difference. Help me to be strong in the Lord. Number 8, be steadfast. Again, back to our text, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Again, notice this. I like to write in my Bible. I like to make notes. And every Sunday morning before I go over my notes, I get up early on Sunday morning. My notes are printed usually on Saturday or Friday, Saturday before I do that final draft. I hate it when I have to get a hold of Brother Ken and say, have you printed yet? I got a little change. But I do my best to finish up. But on Sunday morning, I always sit down over my notes again with a highlighter and a pencil, usually penciling in or highlighting something that's already been printed. The same way in my Bible. And as I look at this verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, and I have the word always circled. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I know we can't be abounding in the work of the Lord when we got our feet kicked up, our pillow behind us sleeping. I know we can't be abounding in the work of the Lord when we're driving down the road in some sense, but we can. We can still pray with our eyes wide open when we're driving. We can still take a lap around the community and say, Lord bless. I mean, children, I mean, we've got those, the children of Israel and others that walked around the walls of Jericho and they end up falling down flat. But there's nothing wrong whether it be walking or driving, making a tour around this, getting a map out and highlighting an area and begin praying over it. God, would you move in here? Would you move along in the midst of our community here where I live? Taking a walk in your community and praying and asking the Lord for the walls of Satan to come down. Always abounding. Being steadfast. Getting a hold of that and just not letting loose. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, believers must stand fast in the faith. Delivered unto the saints. The Lord tells us to stand fast. There's a time to rest and there's a time to work. But when we're working and we're not resting, let's go at it like we mean business. Looking for the opportunity to voice, to share Christ, to leave a track. I do my best to keep tracks and business cards with the church in my wallet, in my pocket, in my truck, everywhere I go. I still carry the church new church directory with me everywhere I go in case I get a call. Somebody needs their pastor. I can see their address and I can get there. Or if I'm driving by an area and we have folks that are members there and praying for them as I drive by. Let me encourage you as we pray for revival before I go on to this last one. Why not? Why not? Take a walk, take a drive on a regular basis in your community and ask the Lord to send revival. Nothing like a good prayer walk. I know you might get excited. You might find yourself weeping just a little bit. You might even find yourself throwing up your hands as you're walking and talking and praying to the Lord. And your neighbors might think you're strange as they watch you throwing up your hands or your mouth moving but wonder what you're doing all by yourself. Who is that guy talking to? It really makes no difference. The Lord knows and the Lord hears. Let's be praying for our communities. Not only the Lord will send revival here, but it will start in our homes. It will start in our communities. And let's pray for our communities. Hey, wouldn't you love to have a few more Christian neighbors? Wouldn't you love to have some godly neighbors who love the Lord as much as you do? That want to be involved in church as much as you do? Hey, prayer changes things. Number 9, be fruitful. Be fruitful in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we increasing? Do you know more today about God and his word than you did yesterday? If you don't, you're not increasing. If we don't, we're not increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. And the best way to do that is getting in the Word, spending time in prayer, and working on these things. By example and precept, we must preach and live the life Christ desires for us. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do this week? Lord, I know I have a job. Or Lord, you know I'm retired. Whatever the case may be, the Lord knows our schedule. But Lord, in my schedule, is there anything that you want me to do today? That you want me to do this week? Lord, outside of reading my Bible, outside of my devotions, outside of praying for my church, Lord, what do you want me to do this week? And asking the Lord, who knows? The Lord just might, in his sweet Holy Spirit, whisper a mission and a message for you to carry out. He might bring a name, a face, a place he wants you to go to be a blessing and a help to those there. Dear friends, may these be a challenge to you this week as you live your life, your Christian life. And by the way, our Christian life should be 24/7, nonstop. Again, be holy, be doers, be kind, be thankful, be merciful, be an example, be strong, be steadfast, and be fruitful. But I think one of the greatest things that we can be as well is just being faithful. Lord, just showing up when I can. Lord, just being there and having a listening ear and allowing you to guide me and direct me. Don't be surprised if you pray this week and asking the Lord, Father, I need a mission. As a young boy during the summer, and I'll close with this example, living in Florida, and lots of sand there, and the front gate as you enter the property, about an acre plus land that we lived on, there was a gate around it, a full acre of land, and the gate was all the way around, swampland in central Florida. We were the 12th, 13th family to move into that 500 acres of swampland. We were in there, and during the school year, it was study, go to school, had a little playtime, had ball practice. Dad was very much involved with Mom. But when summertime came, Dad says, you're not laying in bed. You might as well stay in the practice of getting up early. And then every day, every evening before I went to bed, my dad gave me a mission. He said, son, tomorrow morning, I want you to get 2 wheelbarrows full of sand out of that driveway, haul into the back, other side of the fence, and spread it out. You know, the whole time we lived there, I never finished that job. I don't know where that sand kept coming from, but it kept coming back. But the point I'm trying to say is he gave me a mission and a job every single day. Son, when I get back, I expect, on your word, to have hauled off 2 wheelbarrows full of sand. I expect you to cut the front quarter of the yard. You do the next quarter, the next half, over the rest of the week. And that was also never ending. Get one quarter done, go to the next quarter, the back quarter. It was time to start on the front again. Especially when it rained every other day in Central Florida. But he had a task and a mission for me to do during the summer, and he expected it to be done. And when Dad came down the road in that old truck and come around that corner and would toot that horn once in a while, letting us know Dad was home, real quick through my mind went through the old board, did I get everything done? Have I gotten everything done? Because if I got everything done and we sat down for the family meal, it's an opportunity to go out and ride a motorcycle, go shooting with Dad, or throw the ball. I wanted to make sure that I pleased my Father and I got my mission done. Let's see if we're not striving to say, Lord, what is your mission for me tomorrow? And then striving to please our Heavenly Father in getting it done. I believe he'll show us. I believe he will direct us. And he might just have somebody out there that the Lord wants that I can't reach. By the way, your pastor and the deacon and the staff of the church can't reach everybody. There's some that you need to reach. There may be somebody out there that God has designed and a plan for you to present Christ to them. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to be doers of the word and be what God would have us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and the fellowship and the opportunity to spend time together as a church family. Lord, help us to be that all that we can be for you. Help us to be doers of the word. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be all these things that we talked about tonight, to be after and serving and be going forward our Father's business. And now, Father, we pray that you dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship as we go over to the fellowship hall with a time of ice cream and fellowship and just being a blessing and encouragement to one another. Father, thank you that we have the facilities to be able to do this. Now, Father, bless our time, bless our fellowship. May it be uplifting and encouraging to one another and honoring to you. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the Lord bless you. As always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you, please don't hesitate to ask. Look forward to seeing you over there in the fellowship hall.